Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to We'll See About That. Ron Say here with Mike Gary, and I hope that all of you are back and working well into the first 2 weeks of this new year. And for you football fans, we have got an incredible weekend of football. As we experienced last week, some incredible games, Mike. I particularly was impressed by the Green Bay Packers and their dismantling of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, and they are what will the Green Bay Packers. Their defense looks fast, they look young, and they look hungry, and they're also going to take on your San Francisco
49ers. And I'm worried about that game. I really am. I appreciate the bye to rest up some of these guys with the little nagging injuries, but the Green Bay looks extremely difficult. They're going to be tough to handle. You've got Tampa Bay and Detroit, a couple of teams that you may not have expected to be there, but they have met the match up to this point. I think that's going to be a terrific game, too. And then you've got the seemingly yearly battle between Kansas City and Buffalo in the snow, two cold weather teams, I think will probably be best suited to play that game. But that matchup over the last few years has been incredible.
Yeah, I mean, even going back to the pre-merger, the AFC games, AFC championship games that these two teams played, the Bills and the Chiefs, and man, that Kansas City game and both that Buffalo game postponed for 2 days.
Exactly.
Because of weather, and they didn't even plow the stadium. It was pretty much just general admission.
They hired people in the community to come and rake the snow for $20 a piece, all the food they could eat. They did a really good job. I didn't expect to be the stadium have us cleared, but the seats were all snowy. It was a very cold, probably miserable day. I'm looking forward to those matchups this weekend. I hope you are as well. They certainly look like they're going to be terrific fun. For you baseball fans, spring training is about a month away, so you're probably gearing up and getting ready for that season. So things are shaping up. I am particularly pleased to have a baseball person coming in to join us for this next segment of We'll See About That. A guy who's done a lot of work with youth and trying to fundamentally prepare you and your pitching fundamentals a lot better than he's done a lot of work with the videos and things. So we're looking forward to having Jim Kernel, who will be our guest right after this message.
Fred Dreyer here, the Heartburn Hunter. You know, when you're young, your immune system is strong. But as you get older, coffee, alcohol, and fast food makes your body acidic. But now there's Balance 7. In just 3 days, it starts diluting the acid buildup in your body. 3 1-ounce drinks a day is all you're going to need. Are you tired of just being sick and tired? Balance 7 is the answer. You'll notice less joint discomfort, more energy, and heartburn is no longer a problem. You'll feel younger and healthier with more mental clarity. I know because I use it every day. Right now, try Balance 7 and get 15% off your order. A free bottle of My Smooth Skin, free shipping, and a money-back guarantee. So you have nothing to lose, folks. Call 800-793-9039 and mention my name, Fred. That's 800-793-9039 or visit balance7.com, code word Fred. Call 800-793-9039, code word Fred.
Trying to sell your old car?
Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Call right now and receive a free gift. Call 1-800-785-9618. Donate your car today. That's 1-800-785-9618.
How do you feel right now? Let me tell you something. A couple of months ago, I made a change to my diet. I used to drink coffee. In fact, I've drank coffee my entire life. But then I got a hold of some pomegranate super tea from GetTheTea.com. Almost immediately, I felt better in the morning, and I felt better throughout the day as well. With coffee, it seemed like the energy would be there for a little while, and then I'd feel drained until I could get a snack later in the day. When I started drinking super tea, I noticed immediately that my energy was sustained for a lot longer of a period throughout the day, and I felt better and clean, and that helped my mental acuity as well. So I highly recommend you try one of their teas. They've got all kinds of great tea choices too. Senna, Super Strength Cleansing Tea, Pomegranate Super Tea, Peppermint Super Tea, and if you order now through the end of the month, you'll get 10% off by using the keyword CRN. So do yourself a favor. Get the tea at GetTheTea.com. 10% off with the keyword CRN. GetTheTea.com.
Hey there, sports fans. Ron Say. Are you ready to score big with fresh, healthy eats? Well, our friends at Melissa's Produce have got you covered. Whether you're gearing up for the big game or just living that active lifestyle, Melissa's fresh produce box delivers the winning nutrition you need. And here's the MVP move. Visit Melissa's.com today and use the promo code RONSAY to save 15% on your first order. Don't miss out on the home run deal. Fuel your passion for sports and good eats with Melissa's Produce. That's Melissa's.com, promo code RONSAY for the freshest game day fuel around.
They still call me the Penguin.
Okay, we have returned after the break, and our guest today, Jim Kernel, will be receiving a beautiful fruit gift basket courtesy of our friends at Melissa's Produce. Melissa's is the proud partner of We'll See About That. Be sure to use my VIP code RONSAY while checking out at melissas.com. Our guest today is a former professional player who had a bright career in front of him, and had an arm injury that took his career away from him. And since then, he has dedicated over 20 years of trying to have a better fundamental, a more healthier way of trying to pitch, and has done that through videos. He's currently on the Alpha Zone. We have a player that really feels like he's got something to offer. And with the experience and the number of technical studies that he's done on it, we're very pleased to have Jim Kernel with us today. Jim, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
So how did all of this get started? Tell us the route that took place from the arm injury to, you know, you wanting to help younger people have a healthier weight of throwing the baseball.
Not to belabor the point about the baseball career, but I had a pretty successful start. I won 14 on my first 17 games. But it was kind of interesting back then. I had an issue where I was opening up too quickly, and I threw fairly hard. I was clocked in the low 90s. I pitched in the low 90s, was clocked at 94, could never figure out back then how to keep my shoulder closed. All anybody would say to me was, you got to keep your shoulder closed. Right now, fast forward to today, I would say, okay, let's break down the motion. This is what's causing your shoulder to open up. These are the adjustments you need to make to keep your shoulder closed. But as successful as my career was, I always tell people that if I didn't get injured, I never would have married my wife and had two wonderful children. So I look at it as a great trade-off. But going forward, I'll skip my business career. I started coaching about 15 years ago, and I coached three sports at the local high schools. I coached football, basketball, and baseball. And what led me to this was not so much my injury, but working with athletes. And I'd work with a lot of athletes individually, and also in practice instruction. And whether it was albeit basketball players or football players, quarterbacks, I worked with a lot of quarterbacks or pitchers, I began to see that I was teaching pitchers how to throw the baseball athletically. because no matter what athlete I worked with, whether it was a cornerback or a quarterback, I worked with a lot of basketball players to teach them how to shoot correctly. And I was teaching them to move athletically and to create energy from the ground up to transfer to their ball, their arm, or whatever they need to do athletically. So I come one day, said, gee, this is what I'm doing with pitchers. So this was at least about 7-8 years ago as I kind of began to formulate this idea in my mind. So then I kind of put pen to paper, as my wife always tells me to do, and I came up with a script. And it sat for a year or two. I showed it to some people, and they go, gee, that's interesting. And then one day I said, I'm going to video this. I'm going to create a video series. So I work with a graphic arts designer and video producer locally. And we started with 20 minutes of film. I took a local neighbor's son, who was a 14-year-old pitcher, who had a terrible throwing motion. And I said, I'm going to work with him in a video. And I created a 20-minute video. Well, that morphed into a 5-segment series called The Athletic Pitcher, which I'll be selling in a couple of weeks, which was broken down into different segments, which I don't need to go into now. So that kind of progressed to my interest in looking at pitchers. And I saw a commonality of high school pitchers as far as how they threw. And I also began to see commonality in their injuries. So I said, okay, let me check and see what's going on with professional baseball pitchers. So kind of as a cottage industry, I started writing teams. I wrote the Yankees about Severino and Montgomery about a year before they had Tommy John surgery. I wrote the Mets about Syndergaard. I wrote the Red Sox about Sale. A couple others, right? Obviously, never expecting a response, but it kept the left side of the brain working. And I said to myself, I've seen this on the high school level. I've had pitchers who I've worked with who said no thank you and walked away, and they had Tommy John surgery. And their throwing motions were identical to what I saw at that time. So I said, I'm going to give this a shot. So then that morphed into more research and researching minor league pitchers and college pitchers and professional pitchers. And I've probably evaluated over the last 4 years, I did have a lot of time during COVID, probably 550 injured major league pitchers. Because I wanted to look at the commonality, and I wanted to see from an elbow, a shoulder, lat, oblique, Tommy John surgery, what was the common denominator? Because I felt, and I feel now in talking about youth pitching, that it's really significant as far as how you throw the baseball. And that's really the premise of the foundation that I've been working with when I work with young pitchers, and convince them that there's a lot of parts of this puzzle and a lot of factors play into your injury or performance. But I believe it all starts with the foundation. And to me, the foundation is how you throw the baseball, because that's the beginning piece of the puzzle that helps you mitigate or will help you mitigate injury. There's no cure. As we talk, Ron, baseball is as many people have said, is the most violent motion in sports, any athletic motion. So my feeling is that what can we do to mitigate the risk of injury? And I feel that what's not being looked at the major league level or the minor league level, or even the studies I've done on the collegiate level, it needs to be looked at the youth level, especially with high school pitchers.
My question to you is, you remember back in the time that you and I were playing, because there's not too many years that we're separated there. We overlap. we didn't have much video, and that was new to everybody. Do you think that possibly would have helped you to have some video back in that time to see what you were doing wrong? And also, I want to bring in Tom House. Have you read anything of the nature of that Tom House was doing when he was playing with throwing the football, and how does that relate to anything?
Two good questions. One is, tremendously, if I had seen the way I pitch, right, because I use video all the time as a teaching tool, and teachers, everybody uses video, because if you're looking to create a learning process with the pupil, the student, they need to see, not only be told what they're doing wrong, they need to see what they're doing incorrectly. So if I had seen how I was throwing, I could have then, if without further instruction, put the pieces of the puzzle together, right? No doubt whatsoever. I never saw myself throw a baseball. And as with anybody else in that era. Number two is, I can relate to the Tom House statement or issue that you were speaking to, because I played quarterback in high school. and I could throw the football a little bit. I could throw about 75 yards. As an anecdote, my good friend who coached high school football said, if I was playing quarterback today, I'd throw for $4,500 in my sleep. But that's a separate conversation. But I've done a lot of studies, and part of my studies is comparing the kinetic timing of pitchers versus every other athlete in the universe. And I do a lot of work, and I do a lot of study of quarterbacks. And I just videotaped the four quarterbacks in the playoffs this past year. And I can tell you firsthand that if I was able to throw a baseball with the same kinetic timing as I threw a football with the same kinetic timing and phase movements, I wouldn't have had an arm injury. And that's also, you know, I have many questions about this as I've talked to people. I'm not being a prophet here. All my research and all the work I've done has led me to ask a lot of questions, and I haven't gotten any answers. But to me, the kinetic timing that's used with an NFL collegiate quarterback that creates energy from the ground up is not being used by professional, major league, minor league, and even collegiate pitchers. And my question is, why not? Because I do not understand that. I don't understand that. It's logic and common sense to me that if I have to throw a post pattern 45 yards on a dime, and I have to, when announcers or anybody talks about a quarterback, they talk about his feet. What they mean is that he's moved his feet and he's stepping to the target to throw the football to create maximum energy and maximum accuracy. So if a quarterback can do that or needs to do that, throwing a ball 120 feet, then I don't understand why a pitcher shouldn't do that or doesn't need to do that, throwing a baseball 60 feet.
Okay, we've heard it from Jim Kernel. We have a new break to take, and we will be right back after this break in the action. Thank you for joining us.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. If you've had a revision or removal surgery of a hernia mesh implant after 2008, pay close attention to this message. Hernia mesh manufacturers have recalled some of the mesh material that may have been used in your surgery due to high failure rate. The FDA has even blamed the recalled mesh material for some of the worst of the health issues reported by doctors and patients. If you've had two or more hernia surgeries for the same issue and you're having severe complications, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now.
800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. That's 800-817-2968.
If you're moving to another state, you're getting a fresh start in a brand new town. And when you choose a moving company to help get your valuable possessions to that new home of yours, you want somebody that's going to take care of your things like you would. That's why you need to call Colonial Van Lines. They're America's number one moving company for a reason. Because they'll take care of your things like they would their possessions. They'll use caution so nothing gets damaged. And they won't treat you like a number, they'll treat you like a friend. And when you call now on a qualified move across state lines, they'll give you a $250 discount. Move your things the right way. Call Colonial Van Lines now for a free quote.
Call now to learn more about this special $250 long-distance move discount. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. That's 800-847-0225.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way, way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Hello, Ron Save. Okay, we have returned after the break, and we are with our special guest, Jim Kernel. And Jim, if you remember, I asked you for some bullet points that you'd like to discuss, and I want to get into that right away. Let's start with the velocity myth.
Yeah, that's one of the things I in researching and working with pitchers, I'm extremely concerned about as far as what they're being sold, what they see, what they read, right? And it's based upon this, I'll call it, not call, scientific fact that with the technology and the evolution of the radar gun that clocks velocity, it started closer to the plate when we were playing, and now it's being clocked out of the hand. And without getting into a long, detailed explanation about it, but people can go to Baseball America or other sites, and there was kind of a evolution of guns from, you know, the speed gun to the Stalker to Stalker 2 to Pitch FX and eventually to StockCast. And when they started tracking the baseball, that I remember when I was pitching, you'd have people, you know, scouts and shooting a gun, and we're shooting at the plate. So whether it was clock crossing the plate, 5 feet in front of the plate, 10 feet in the front of the plate, I'm not going to argue that. But eventually it got to closer to the pitcher's hand, and eventually now it's out of the hand. So scientifically, it is a fact that pitchers today, if you read the headline, Jordan Hicks throws 101, XYZ throws 102, et cetera, that's true. But what the reality is, then the only comparison people have is that they go, wow, he throws 5 to 6 miles an hour harder than Bob Gibson and Steve Carlton. And I'm going, no, that's not true. Because if those pitchers towed the rubber, if Jordan Hicks towed the rubber against Steve Carlton, he would be clocked at somewhere between 91 to 93, because the science says 7 to 9%, right? If you want to be conservative and go 5 to 6%, well, then he'd be throwing somewhere between 90, 94, 95. And I believe that's still not as hard as Steve Carlton threw. So that's part of the issue. So what happens is that now, I see it all the time. Just a couple of quick anecdotal stories, because I've worked with a lot of pitchers and obviously got to know their parents and that. I ran into a mother of a pitcher in town, and I had worked with her son a couple of years ago. And he just left for school. And I rolled down the window and said, hey, how's John doing? And she goes, great, he threw 92 yesterday. Now, I wasn't asking about his velocity. I didn't care about his velocity. I never talked with him about velocity. I was asking if he liked his professors, had a girlfriend, or liked the food, right? So my response is, okay, where did this mother, who's a woman, who's a very nice young lady, get this information from? Why is velocity so important to her, right? And there's many others. But to the point, now when you go and to showcases, or when you're working with young men, or you hear about them, and people come up to me, or parents come up and say, hey, Joe's throwing 88, Joe's throwing 92, Joe's throwing 94. And one parent, I said to the father, I go, does he have a changeup? And he said, no. And that conversation ended right there. So the issue is that this perpetuating of this myth, and I assume it's done because 100 is a sexy sizzle. If they came up and said Jordan Hicks is really only throwing 94, it doesn't sell the newspapers and doesn't sell the article. But it's a great injustice to youth pitchers who are now chasing that golden ticket. And the other part of this, which is just as important, we've talked about, it's flipped the pitching paradigm upside down. Because if you talk to anybody who knows anything about pitching, the tenets are in this order: it's command, it's change of speed, it's movement, and it's velocity. If you want to be a successful pitcher, this velocity myth has flipped this, where it's how hard can I throw the baseball? And I'll give you one quick story about that. I do motion study programs. I've been doing that for the last couple of years. And I take 15 to 20 pitchers. They all throw the same. I know exactly what I'm looking for. And it's kind of a Pygmalion or My Fair Lady project, where I bring them in, I talk to the parents and say, listen, this is what's going to happen. It's going to be a 4-week program. Okay. We're going to work twice a week in groups of two. And then if you want to continue, we'll work and do private lessons down the road. I said, it's $85. I give all the money to charity. Okay. Before this starts, though, I line them up and each session, And I go, we're going to have a little test. Okay. I haven't taught him anything. I haven't said anything. I said, we're going to throw 20 to 25 pitches. We're going to throw 3-4 fastballs down the middle. Then you're going to work in the hands. You're going to work low and away. Now I want you to throw a couple of curveballs for strikes. Okay. Say it's a 2-0 count and you got to get back and you don't want to throw a fastball. And then we're going to throw some changeups. You want to expand the strike zone. It's 0-2. Then we throw some changeups. So it's about 20, 25 pitches. I'm telling you that out of the 45 or 50 pitchers that I've worked with in these motion studies, nobody's gotten a strike ratio of higher than 20%. I've had some that have thrown 25 pitches that have not thrown a strike. Okay, but all they want to do, and I had one kid who was trying to throw the ball through the wall like he was Bob Gibson, and he was an obstinate kid, so I just said, okay, let him go. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
It reminds me of the time when I was growing up when you tried to gauge the players that you haven't seen when you're 10, 12 years old. You know, what's their batting average? Like, that was the most important thing. What is your best player's batting average? Which today doesn't amount to much. So there is a reference to throwing. You know, the lady comes in out of the parking lot and says, "My son's throwing 92." I get it. It's not that important. And so where can you sound like you've really got this under control? Where can people find you? How can you get this thing spread to where they're actually getting some really high quality stuff from you?
Well, the website I'm going to open up in a week or so is called the athleticpitcherseries.com. And on that website, there's an opportunity to purchase the video series. And then I've also created a video, actually a program called Tap Into Tap. That's kind of the video series is kind of a educational tool. Tap Into Tap is an instructional tool because it's all click on baseballs with short videos, mirror drills, et cetera, that you could take on the go and take with you. And then I have online instruction that I will be offering because I have an app that offers me the opportunity to annotate a video with voiceover. So a young pitcher can send me a video and I could basically send him a video back that explains exactly what he's doing wrong, how he needs to correct it, the drills to correct it, with a voiceover, so he's getting a full lesson. So I'm doing that for the sole purpose of trying to educate, and not from a pontifical standpoint, but to make young hurlers, young pitchers aware that there's an opportunity for them to. The athletic pitcher is basically the tagline is improving health, improving performance, and that's pretty much in a nutshell.
Well, that sounds like a terrific tool that you're making available to these people. I hope certainly that they take advantage of that. I wanted to get into another segment of your bullet points, the training with weighted balls and long tossing and, you know, helpful, hurtful, whatever.
Yeah, it goes in line with, you know, let's start with everybody. It's more is always more. I'm sorry, more people always think more is always better. I apologize. And most often more is always more. And I think it applies to both long toss and it applies to both weighted balls. And I will make this analogy. I don't know of any professional basketball player that I've ever heard of that to be a more proficient three-point shooter gets a weighted basketball and starts chucking it up. From beyond the three-point line. Nor have I heard any quarterback, nor have I worked with any quarterbacks and had them throw a weighted ball. Okay. So I'm going to couple that with the fact that 99.9% of the throwing motions that I've seen in young pitchers are horrendous. And I always use the term, I wouldn't let the pitchers I work with throw a ping pong ball with these motions. We play catch, and until they learn how to create this timing, I don't even put them on a mound, okay? So you're looking at two factors here. One is I don't understand the actual medical reason for it. And number two is now you're asking somebody to throw a weighted ball against the wall with a throwing motion that's improper, that already is putting extra stress on their arm. Now you're adding a weighted ball to that, okay? I never even dreamed of throwing a weighted ball when I was pitching. Okay. And I threw fairly hard. I never heard of anybody throwing a weighted ball. So I don't understand that. I'd like somebody to explain it to me. But from a common sense standpoint, to me, it makes no sense whatsoever. The long toss, And I remember talking to Jim Cott about this. The only time I'd long toss was when I was loosening up the second day I pitched to throw a bullpen or throw a batting practice. And I wound up throwing batting practice twice, and then they kicked me off because I wasn't going to throw strikes. I was going to throw pitches that I wanted to throw, and the hitter said, get out of here. Nice. So anyway, long story short.
I know how that works.
So I figured, hey, if I'm on the mound, I want to get the most out of this. I don't care about the hitters. Okay?
Exactly. And we don't want you out there.
No, you don't want me on the mound. No. So long story short, I would throw, but I wasn't throwing the ball. Like I said, I could throw a football 75 yards, so I'm sure I could throw a baseball pretty far, right? But there was no reason for me to do that because I was throwing a baseball 60 feet.
Right.
So here's what I don't understand about this. We're so concerned about the pitcher's arm health, okay? We have pitch counts. Most of them are in the showers after five innings. But yet, before the game or in between starts, you'll have your pitchers, and this could be at any level, chucking the baseball as far as you can. The long toss to warm up, right? And I've always said to my athletes that I've worked with or teams that I've worked with is I create a pregame warm-up, okay? Because this is what I always saw. This is the warm-up I would see with high school pitchers. They go to the bullpen. They do about 150 bands as fast as they could. Then they would long toss, stretching it out behind the mound for a good 10 or 15 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, right? And then throw in the bullpen another 40, 50, 60 pitches. That's the warm up for the game. So I changed that and said, you know what? We're going to do a metabolic warm up. Okay. While the visiting team's here, you're going to run some sprints. You're going to do some dynamic stretching. You're going to do some static stretching. You're going to do a metabolic warm up. If you're concerned, not only warm up properly, but I'm concerned about your arm health. You want to warm up to throw, not throw to warm up.
Okay, Jim, we're going to have to hold you right there. We've got to take a short break. We'll be right back up to this.
Hey, I'm Chelsea, and a little thing I like about the Chick-fil-A Spicy Deluxe Sandwich is I think it's just a perfect combination of ingredients. The pepper jack cheese and that spiciness of the sandwich. It's the right type of spice and the right amount of spice. It's crunchy on the outside, but then really tender on the inside. And then obviously the pickles on the bottom are iconic. There are too many things I like about it. I don't know if I can finish the thought.
Bring on the spice and order the Chick-fil-A Spicy Deluxe Sandwich on the Chick-fil-A app today. Real guest paid for their testimonial.
Now, during Staples' Print Big Sale, get $20 off your print purchase of $100 or more, $50 off your print purchase of $200 or more, and $100 off your print purchase of $300 or more. So the more you print at Staples, the more you save. To demonstrate, print, print, print at Staples, you save, save, save. But if you print, 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 print at Staples, you save, 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 save. See how that works? Staples' Print Big Sale. Print more, save more. Up to $100. Ends 2/10. Visit staples.com/print for details.
For the second consecutive year, Kia America will support St. Jude Children's Research Hospital with a donation for each new eligible Kia vehicle sold or leased and delivered in the U.S. between November 16, 2023 and January 2, 2024. The minimum $1.5 million donation is part of Kia's ongoing commitment to St. Jude through its Accelerate the Good charitable initiative. Last year, Kia donated $1.35 million and was named the 2023 St. Jude New Corporate Partner of the Year. Russell Wager, Vice President, Marketing.
Kia is proud to once again partner with St. Jude Children's Research Hospital to drive awareness of their all-important mission and provide funds to help children who are our future have a better chance of realizing their dreams by receiving world-class care.
Since 2019, Kia has donated more than $22 million to causes which include treating childhood illness, helping to fight hunger and homelessness, and relief for victims of natural disasters. For more information on how to donate, please visit stjude.org. Sponsored by Kia America.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, a Pfizer vaccine.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
The fans are rooting for the Dodgers.
And welcome back. We'll see about that. Thank you so much for joining us here. This day in Dodger history, 2015, the Dodgers confirmed Clayton Kershaw's record-breaking $215 million deal, seven-year contract, the largest deal ever given to a pitcher. The two-time National League Cy Young Award winner, who will earn $30.7 million annually. Remember when $215 million seemed like a big contract? Now we have them pretty much tripled.
It sure did, and it looks like they got their money's worth, and we still do not know whether Clayton's going to be returning, so I suppose that is going to be news in the next month or so. I have to do a quick read here. My new book, Penguin Power, is available now on the website, RonSayShow.com. Get your autographed copy here today. Okay, Jim, we are back, and we had a lengthy discussion about that. We also want to get back to the analytics today and how that possibly fits into your educational work with them.
Yeah, I think that's a twofold conversation. One is, obviously, we know there's a lot of people that are not happy about that. It's making the game a little more black and white and more statistic oriented, right? But as with the velocity, right, that has already taken over youth pitching as far as being able to translate, trickle down into that world. Spin rate starting to do that. I'm sure they're all going to start trickling down. But what I don't understand is that, because I decided to do some research and I looked into spin rate, I looked into whip, I looked into war, some of these statistics, right? I wanted to see what they represented, because it seemed like people were hanging their hats, especially on spin rate. Because if I ever turned on MLB.com or read an article, I've read a lot of scouting reports about college and prospects that I've evaluated regarding the throwing motion. I always wanted to see what the scouts were talking about. Okay. Always spin rate and velocity, never about how they threw the baseball. That's once again, separate conversation. So I said, okay, what is spin rate really? What does it represent? So number one, you have to start with it's say a curveball spin rate of 26 revolutions per minute, right? I go, wow, that's pretty high. And I go, well, that's per minute. A baseball doesn't travel for a minute. It travels 60 feet. And I researched that and was somewhere between 0.4 to 4.06 seconds. So I said, what's half a second, right? So that translates into what, 15, 16, 17, 18 rotations, whatever the number may be. It's not that important. What I found out, though, because when I did a spin rate analysis, okay, if I looked at the spin rate, I took six pitches, fastball, curveball, slider, cutter, change, and sweeper. And I took the top 40 spin rates in each of those pitches off of Baseball Savant. And what I saw was, when I took the spin rate of the number one pitcher for each pitch, and I took the number 40 spin rate, and I actually translated into 60 feet and what that meant for the 1 to 15th pitcher in any of those categories, it meant maybe one or two revolutions more per the plate. For between 1 and 40 was 3 to 4. So I'm looking and going, I pitch a little bit, I teach a little bit, and I'm going, is it really that important that pitcher A has two more revolutions on his curveball than pitcher B, right? Number one. Number two is, whatever that spin rate is, it's an average, right? So I pitched enough and I work with enough pitchers. Does he have the same spin rate in the eighth inning with the bases loaded and the game tied as he does in the second inning with nobody on and the eighth hitter up? Okay, my guess is probably not, but that comes into value in your performance on the field. So once again, the question is, for all these writers and all the pundits and all the experts who value spin rate, to me, value it tremendously, I don't see how it translates that significantly into the performance on the field and the value of the pitcher. It's part of the equation. If I have a good spin rate on my curveball, Well, yeah, I have some DNA and I'm there. I have a good start. But can I get it over? Do I have command? Am I going to get hurt? Am I going to be in the IL? You know, all these pitchers, they talk about spin rate. I saw this session on MLB about Dustin May and his great spin rate and his curveball. Well, he had Tommy John surgery. He had elbow surgery last year. And they had a picture of him up on the screen. And I wrote the Dodgers 2 years ago, part of my cottage industry, and said, you got trouble here, right? And I'm going, no announcer would say, by the way, you know, he's got a really good spin rate, but he's going to have some trouble with that throwing motion. I know that's not going to happen, but to me, that's a big part of the equation. You know, spin rate helping on the IL. So that's one thing. Two is the same thing. I looked at whip, right? I don't think they place as much emphasis on whip as they do spin rate, but you certainly hear enough about that pitcher's whip, right? Correct. So I said, let me look at the top 40 ERA pitchers this past year. And I looked at their whip rate, took it right from 1 to 40. The difference between the number one starter and the number 40 starter was a difference of about 2.5 runs per game, okay? The difference was maybe 0.38 whip per game, okay? Now they pitch five innings, right? So that's walks, hits per inning. So if you multiply by five times 0.38, you come out with 1.5 something. So that means, right, I look at, once again, I look and go, okay, the number 40 pitcher had a whip that was only basically recognized that he gave up one and a half or two more hits or walk per game.
Correct.
Which is five innings, six, right? Versus the number one ERA. So I'm going, you know what? As a pitcher, I'm going, it's not so much how many runners you put on the base. It's kind of what you do when the runners are on the base, right? So once again, in the context of statistics, I think that when you look at any fact or any statistics, and this is any issue we deal with today, that you can make a story, you can out of any statistic if you want to, but is that a story that really tells the whole story? Or is it just one piece of the puzzle that together with the other pieces of the puzzle really tells the entire story about a pitcher's value? And I think from an analytical standpoint, when any writer or any expert only relies on one particular stat, I hate to be blunt, but my reaction is they really don't know that much about pitching.
Jim, let's talk real briefly about Tommy John surgeries. They've almost seemed to become routine. It seems every pitcher will have this procedure at some point, even like at the youth level now. You've analyzed over 550 players at every level. Do you see a common denominator in those throwing motions for those who will eventually undergo Tommy John surgery?
Yes. I've also seen a common denominator for pitchers who've had shoulder injuries. But as far as Tommy John surgery, that was kind of what initiated my thought process because I was seeing on the younger level. And the statement that people have made that I hear all the time, that there's not a cookie cutter approach to pitching, there's not one size fits all, I disagree with because of the motions I've evaluated, 550, probably about 150 to 175 or Tommy John surgeries, they all throw the same way. All throw the same way. I could take some photos and just place it on top of the other, and they're identical, they're mirror images, right? So when I talk about lower half ball timing versus the quarterback or other athletes, when I look at the Tommy John surgeries and their throwing motions, okay, there's two factors. One is that DNA comes into play. And as an example, when I research these pitchers, I look at the innings that they've thrown prior to Tommy John. Well, Justin Verlander threw 2,800 innings before his Tommy John surgery. Cerevino was around 500, plus or minus. Syndergaard was 700. Kopech was 158. Buehler's had two before 660 innings. So that's where we talk about the different components. I firmly believe DNA plays into it. But with all these pitchers, and the issue I have with young pitchers that I work with, and they all look the same when they come to me, is that they've created a slingshot for their arm. Their lower body is completely rotated, and their arm is collapsed below their head. Okay? So to me, that says the arm now is the engine, and it's a steering wheel. From an athletic perspective, once again, with all the athletes I've ever worked with, and all the athletes that I see in the training methods, and the terminology, they're all looking to create energy and transfer energy from the ground up, from your feet to the lower half, to the upper half, to the shoulder, to the ball, to the club, whatever the case may be. when you create this Tommy John throwy motion that I call a slingshot for the arm, you have dissipated your lower half energy before you even take the ball, which now has to travel 120 degrees to release with no lower half energy at all to support the delivery of the baseball. That's what I think the issue is. Now, let me add.
Go ahead.
This is really important. I've said this to many people. I am not concerned how major league pitchers throw. Okay? They're all big boys. They make a lot of money. What I am concerned about and why I've been involved in this is that I don't want young pitchers, high school pitchers, to think that's the way they're supposed to throw because that's what they see, that's what they read, that's what they hear, that's what they're being taught. That is my issue.
Well, good luck with that. That's a tough one because I know that a lot of players like to emulate major league players. I used to do it. I used to swing like Mickey Mantle and Ted Williams and those. You can't help it. I used to like to play wiffle ball left-handed. It was more fun to me that way. Have a question about Shohei Ohtani. He's gone through two surgeries already. He's not going to pitch this year. What do you see?
I wrote the Angels 2.5 years ago. And Joe Maddon's a good friend of mine. And I did not involve him because I didn't want to put him in position. But I wrote the Angels. He, once again, that was part of my cottage industry. And I said, here's the issue. And this ties into my previous comment. Every Tommy John surgery that I've evaluated, nobody has made any adjustments in their throwing motion. So that tells me, as a layman, okay, outside of Major League Baseball, that they see this and they ignore it. They think it's inconsequential. It has nothing, how they throw and their lack of lower half energy has nothing to do with the Tommy John surgery, or they don't see it. And to me, that's incomprehensible because I get these photos off of videos and the internet search. They have motion capture film. So I don't know the answer to that. I'd be curious to find out what it is. But as far as Ohtani, Shohei Ohtani, right? When I wrote the Angels 2 years ago, I sent a breakdown of their motion. I showed them photos of 40 to 50 other pitchers who had Tommy John surgery that were identical. Their throwing motions and their, more importantly, their phase movement motions, how they went to the plate, where the ball was, when their front foot lands, et cetera, was exactly identical to Ohtani. And I said, he's going to be in trouble. He's going to have another serious injury, right? So this is not about me being clairvoyant, okay? This is about me not understanding how the professionals who have all this equipment, all this motion capture, supposedly all this expertise, coupled with the hundreds of millions of dollars they're spending on pitchers, just from a curiosity standpoint, I don't understand why they don't see this, how they don't see this, and why there are not corrections that are made in the offseason. I understand the middle of the season is not going to happen. I also understand the egos of anybody who's gotten to that level. I mean, I certainly can appreciate that, where you say, hey, I've been doing this, okay? I've been successful. But my question is then, after you've been injured and you're out for a year and a half, there's nobody that has come up to you and said, we have to take a look at this. I think this is part of the reason, a significant part of the reason why you got injured. And more than likely, if you don't change, why you're going to get injured again.
Thanks, Jim, for that. We're going to be right back after this commercial break to finish up with Jim Kernel. Thanks for being with us.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again.
Ouch!
Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. If you administer insulin 3 or more times per day or use an insulin pump, call now and learn how a CGM can help you.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free and they took care of all the paperwork.
You can reduce pain right away. Plus, it's accurate, easy to use, and helps you spend more time in range. And if you have insurance, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call now and get free shipping of your new CGM. Plus, we'll bill your insurance for you. 800-390-5160. 800-390-5160. 800-390-5160. That's 800-390-5160.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right. For about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing-fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're going to love it. And you're going to love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-617-5145. 800-617-5145. 800-617-5145. That's 800-617-5145.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property, and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Hey, Ron. How you doing?
Okay, we are back with our final segment with Jim Kernel. Jim, thank you so much for being a part of our show. Very interesting analysis. I want to give your the viewing audience, listening audience, an opportunity where they can pick you up again. So please let us know where you are.
Oh, I appreciate it. Yeah, the website, which is going to be up in a week or so, is called The Athletic Picture Series. And they can reach me if they want to send me an email and disagree with anything I've said or whatever, which I'm sure there might be some people out there. But, you know, joking aside, that's how we all learn. I'm open to discussion. I'm open to alternative opinions. This is just my research and my analysis, coupled with all the success I've had with young pitchers who have improved tremendously when they've made these adjustments. So my email is jactap2@gmail.com.
There you have it. Thank you so much, Jim. I hope that you have a lot of new clients coming up soon.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity. Yeah. I thoroughly enjoy this.
Thank you. So, thank you for being a part of our show. All right. There you have it. Jim Kernel. Wow. I hope some people are listening.
Yeah. Any parents of baseball players, pay attention to that man.
Yeah. I think it would at least lend your ear to it, see where it goes. I think that there's a lot to be taken advantage of there. we have a terrific guest coming up next week, Mike Appel. American music industry manager and recording producer, his biggest client, Bruce Springsteen, and he was the co-producer of Born to Run.
Wow.
I'm looking forward to having him on. Also, thanks for listening, and remember to follow me on the Instagram, the official Ron Say. For those football fans, I hope you have a great weekend. I hope your teams win. I still think that the best game is, I'm a little worried about it, is Packers 49ers. So go 49ers. I'm looking forward to that. It's a Saturday game. Yeah, I think they're all going to be great games.
I think so, too. And just real fast, personal privilege, Ron, we talked about it before the show. I just want to give a congratulations to Juno Temple, John Hamm, and Noah Hawley for a great season of Fargo this year.
Oh, yeah, wasn't it great? I had so much fun watching that. It is a... it is pretty much true to life for them about what's going on.
Look close to home, today, yeah.
Oh, man. Well, all right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for joining us. I want to thank you for being a part of our show once again, and we will see you next week with Mike Appel. Thanks for joining us.